I'm going to need some people on standby this morning because the front row has got me concerned for my safety. So I see no one I can put in charge because I think at any given moment they would take advantage of moments of weakness in my life. So if any of them starting to rush the stage, Brian and Jerry, I'm going to need you to tackle them. Okay? All right? I don't like to turn my back on any of them. All right? Because all I do is send encouraging words and text messages to them. I never make fun of them. I never pick on them. Okay? All right? Let's pray quickly. God, we do honor you. God, the reality of it is we honor you when we decide to, not when we should, and not all the times that we could, and not all the ways that you have enabled us to worship and praise and honor you. But this morning, Father, give us a glimpse of you. Father, we come in here thirsty, tired, hungry, weary, anxious, overwhelmed. And you can fill in other words as I was saying those words for yourself. But Father, thank you today that you're above all of that. And right in the midst of every one of those, you are working and you are moving and you are speaking and you are loving on us. And your grace and your mercy does abound. It knows no limitations. We can't outrun it. We can't find a place to hide from it. And God, you are worthy of everything we give to you and more. So Lord, in these next few moments, speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning as we get ready to go to camp in just a few hours, we're going to continue our series on worship. And I don't know about you, but I find a lot of different things to worship during the week. I don't always find that God's at the top of my list for worship. That I find things that I have allowed to crowd into my life, my thoughts, things I like to do, things I wish I could do, kind of overtake me. And there I find myself focused on those things, putting time and energy into them, realizing that maybe God wasn't ever a part of that. That God desires me to focus on you, to seek His face, to find Him as He desires to be found. And so, I don't know how you necessarily judge how you did this past week worshiping Him, but I can tell you this much, you probably could look back at this past week and find a lot of different ways you worried about things, that you were consumed with the unknown, being uncertain of things, different fears that maybe you struggled with. And so this morning, I'm going to look at a familiar passage, but with a very unfamiliar translation. As we continue worship, and we look at a version of the definition of it, I turn to Romans 12, 1 through 2. We've alluded to these the first couple of weeks, but I want to look at it through the Phillips translation. If you happen to get one of those pieces of paper and you're not busy playing tic-tac-toe or connect the dot or writing notes to one another, you can look at it. Okay? And this is what it says. The guy that wrote this interpretation's name is J.B. Phillips. He wrote it in the early 1900s. And he says this about Romans 12, 1 through 2. A very common passage, but probably many of you have not read this translation. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God. You know what I think another way of saying that too is looking up. How many of you go around each day, each week, just counting the cracks in the sidewalk, passing time? My brothers, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. I love that passage. I love that translation of that passage because it kind of says it in different ways that challenge me. And as we began to walk through this brief sermon this morning, point number one would say this about worship to us today. Worship of God requires our whole being, our everything we've got. In another version, when it talks about presenting your bodies, it realizes that God just doesn't want your body. He wants you to not just show up. He wants you to be present. He wants you to be present in life. I was telling somebody this morning, actually, that God speaks to me very often on the Truman Parkway, and I'm not joking. And it's not because somebody's done something to irritate me, or it's not because I'm afraid of being caught speeding like some of you fly around Truman Parkway like you've joined NASCAR. Okay? But I am in there, and one of the reasons why is from the time I leave my house in Georgetown to the time I arrive here or other places I go in this area, I don't have to think about getting here. And so there's been many a times, even during the work week, that I will leave my house and show up down here and I think, ooh, I wonder how many red lights I ran. How many people did I irritate because I really didn't see them? Or maybe I did speed and didn't think about it. My body did an action that my mind was not engaged in. Now, some of you parents might think, shoot, my children live that way every day. Wives may think that about their husbands. I won't call names, but it'd be real easy right now. But worship requires all of our whole being. So realizing that God wants all of yourself, not just the parts that are convenient to give to you. I love the way it starts out with eyes wide open to the mercies of God. Are you looking for God? Are you seeking God? Or have you settled that where you are right now in life, I'm good enough. I'm okay. I have some good days. I have some bad days. I have some ups. I have some downs. But overall, I'm making it just fine. My family is muddling through. I'm muddling through. Maybe one day things will get better. That is not worship. Worship is acknowledging that God is the supreme being, that He is number one in your life, and that you can start with a thought about God, not an action to perform. So that you can start with a thought about God and not an action to perform. The sacrifice is living because it's brought alive to the altar. But here's the thing about it. You ready? It's an ongoing sacrifice. We die to the things not of God, but our life is always before God to see what He might need to take away from us that is not pleasing to Him, that is not honoring Him, that not is blessing to Him, and is not blessing to others. So be honest with yourself this morning as I will give you questions to think about. How much of you do you worship with when you are trying to worship God? What is the battle in your mind for the worship of God? Next point. Worship renews the mind. I want you to realize something today about worshiping too. Did you know it's an offensive weapon against the powers of world, flesh, and devil? When you're renewing your mind and you're allowing God to renew your mind, one of the first things we need to do is as it says in Lamentations 3:22-23, is His mercies are new every day. Praise Him and worship to Him for the mercies that He has given unto you one more day. As a matter of fact, we're finding Romans, it was written by a guy named Paul. And Paul says a lot of interesting things throughout the book of Romans, but it has a central theme, and that is this. Jesus is the Son of God. He died, He was buried, and He was raised 3 days later, and He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He sits there as justification for our sins. He sits there as a confidence of His coming glory. He sits there that we can have a relationship with God the Father. He goes through a whole list in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, a way God has shown you mercy and shown me mercy. How has God shown you mercy just in these last few days? How has God been merciful to you just recently? Because part of worshiping, and our next point, you can go ahead, John. Our next point about God's mercies being new is something that I think that we kind of run past of His daily mercy. That the obvious thing is that God is up to things in our lives every single day. And I know you know that, but how has He been merciful to you? One of the things I love about Paul is found in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians when he says, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. When I had employees that I didn't like, when I had family members that I wish I never knew, when I had people in my life that were a pain in the backside. He doesn't say these things, but in essence, that's what he's saying for all of us. If it wasn't for people in life, life sure would be a lot smoother, right? If it wasn't having to sometimes deal with children, deal with coworkers, deal with spouses, man, I could worship God all the time. If I had all the money, if I had all the time, how could I worship God? And Paul says, look, I've been to the mountaintop, and I've been in the valley, and I've been in the in-between. I've learned that God is faithful in all circumstances and in all pressures of life. He is faithful, and I realize His mercies are new every morning. So as you think about worshiping God today, how is He trying to renew your mind, and how is He trying to remind you of His mercies? Because they are new, and God is faithful. As Paul writes through the book of Romans, And he reminds us of things that we are lacking. Because he says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ is there to meet. Christ is there to meet us. And that is something to be worshipped about and for. In just a few hours when we get up to camp up at Pioneer, that we're going to sit and we're going to be together this week. And some of you have never been up there. And I would encourage you, by the way, you can come up anytime and worship with us. Family night's Tuesday night. We serve dinner about 6. We have a worship service at 7. Then we have a talent show afterwards. But you're welcome to come up anytime and hang out with us and be around us. And the thing about it, I think you'll notice, is the environment there, one of the greatest things about that environment is we leave a lot of things at home. Now, there's a struggle sometimes with the mind to say, am I willing to leave the worries? Because I may not be able to just leave them easily, but we're making a choice by being in an environment where worship just happens throughout the day. We worship God being together. We worship God by playing games together and eating meals together and hanging out together. There's a lot of hangout time at our camp. There's just a lot of time just being together, getting to know one another. It's interesting. This would apply to many people sitting in this room. We will have conversations up there that we haven't really had conversations in months together, but yet when we talk up there, we'll pick right up where we left off because we've been living in a community. And I think one of the greatest avenues that God is so merciful with us about is being in community. That is mercy. That is God's showing us mercy by knowing that we cannot do it alone, that God displays His faithfulness to us. And those things are not something that are a point in time. That's not a destination. That's an ongoing part of the journey. But you have to ask yourself this morning about your worship of God. And we see the next point. Worship of Him moves us towards maturity. You ever thought about that? So if you've ever considered yourself as you've arrived, then you've taken away the opportunity to worship God, that He's still growing you, that He's still engaged in your life, He's still doing things. And I love the way Paul walks through it as he explains how to live out the will of God. First of all, he says, keep in mind the rich mercy of God to you, the past, present, and future, by the mercies of God. Then he says, as an act of intelligent worship, decide to yield your entire self to Him, so you present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And then he says, resist conforming your thoughts and actions to this world. So do not be conformed. How is God trying to form you to be just like Jesus? A lifelong process, yes, but it's also a maturing process, a growing up process. And the last point under that point is by focusing on God's Word and fellowship with Him, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what the word anxious means? It means divided mind. So, if the battle begins in your mind about thoughts, then how are you going to give your all to worshiping God if all the while you're trying to say amazing love, but you know, I'm not really sure God's going to come through for me this month? I do want to honor you, God, but right now I'm honoring worry and fear and uncertainty. God, I would love to be able to trust you like we sing about, but at the same time, I know I got a doctor's visit coming up and I'm not really sure. God, I know that people tell me that you can be trusted and that you'll come through and that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. But you know, God, the last time I prayed for something, I never got an answer. You see, do you live in the world of He is who He says He is and you live here? Or do you live over here sometimes with, I know, but I don't know for sure? Because one of the things about active worship on an ongoing basis that I see in my own life, I can stay over here a lot easier when I am worshiping Him for who He really is. And then when something over here tries to creep in, I'm going to rebuke that and say, it's going to renew my mind. It's going to change my action. Because my thoughts are going to change my mind and my mind's going to change my action. And then I can say, God, I'm struggling a little bit today. Show me how you've been merciful to me. Worship reminds me of His mercies, but it also reminds me that I can ask Him, show me your love today. Show me your mercy today. Show me your grace today. Because not only am I dependent on you to show me, I'm dependent on you to use me to show it to somebody else. And I think sometimes we've lost sight of something with worship. And that is this. It's impactful to the people around us. To the people around us. Because I love what it says at the end there. it says, is good. It meets all His demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. One of the things I love about that, He's saying to be just like Jesus. What's the central theme of Romans? Jesus, the Christ, the living Messiah. Paul is giving it straightforward to the church in Rome. He's writing very well here, saying God is alive. God deserves worship. And that therefore we will not give any room, we will give no thoughts to worshiping something else. So this morning, the points were worship of God requires our whole being. Worship renews the mind. Worship of Him reminds us of His mercies. And worship of Him moves us towards maturity. Where are you at in this process? Do you feel like you're still growing? Do you feel like you stay double-minded all the time? Your mind's divided? And that the thoughts that you struggle with aren't pleasing to God? That they're holding you back? And that you're not recognizing how merciful and how gracious He's been to you recently? Because worship really is a 7-24-hour thing. And never hide behind the fact of it can't be done. That it can't be done. Because you're allowing a lie to sink into your mind, a thought that then will take action, and it will allow you to make decisions based upon that lie. And then when you're beginning to worship, what you're having to do is you're having to fight out of the mud and the mire of that lie instead of living on the side of the equation that says, yeah, I've been worshiping God already. I showed up and just continued the worship. I'm just worshiping God because it's part of my lifestyle. It's in me. The Holy Spirit in me is just taking over. Just taking over. One of the great things about camp is you saw a lot of them dancing. And there's going to be some special dancing at camp too. Just as a little, get you ready a little bit. But what if you worship God without any inhibitions? What if you worship God without thinking about what others thought of you? What if you showed up at work and you opened your Bible and you just began to read? That's an act of worship. What if you, and you fill in the blank, did such and such because you're really going to present yourself as a living sacrifice? And that you've learned or you're learning the secret of contentment is that Jesus is who He says He is and He will always be that. My mood, my circumstances, my thoughts does not change who He is. It changes who I am. And therefore, I want to be everything He's called me to be. And we have that privilege to join Him. So how is your worship of Him today? Let's go to some questions. Are you worshiping or worshiping? That's not a real word, by the way. I made that up, so don't look it up. Okay. I really think God gave that to me for me. I really do. I was just thinking the other day about my own worship, and I thought, wow, how quickly I can change. How quickly I can go, God's the greatest, to, oh man, I don't know if God's going to come through. Praise God, He's awesome. And then I'm ready to choke somebody. What ways has God been merciful to you recently, over the course of your life? How would your life change if you put your all into worshiping God? How would your life change? How would it change you personally? How would it change those around you if you were to put your all into worshiping Him? And whatever that would look like in your own personal life, what would it really look like to do that, to be that, to fill your mind with the presence of God to such a powerful way that even when a worry or an uncertainty or a fear tries to creep in, that it can't find a place because you've renewed your mind to the point where it's full of the things of God, full of God Himself. So are you worrying? Are you worshiping? What ways has God been merciful to you? And how would your life change if you put your all into worshiping Him? So I'm going to pray for us. You have some cards and envelopes you can fill out. I'd encourage you to take a moment and think about this worshiping thing. Because we've been talking about it for 3 weeks, and I know that some of you haven't been here all 3 weeks. But the fact is that all of you in this room have heard the topic talked about many times. So therefore, it's time to quit fluctuating back and forth between sometime worship, less than wholehearted worship, less than my all kind of worship, and being present for the worship. Anytime, every time, all the time. Let's pray. Just begin to think about this. I encourage you to meditate upon this. Father, just in these next few moments, what are You speaking to us? What are You showing to us? God, where's the struggle? Where's the struggle for putting You first in all areas of our lives, but worshiping you for who you really are. And God, remind us right now of how merciful you have been to us and how you intend to be merciful to us. Just keep thinking about that for a second. Think about God's presence in your own life. Our altar is open if you'd like to come pray with somebody. Guys will be down here. You can come, put your cards and envelopes in the basket. By the way, we don't say a lot about those cards very often, but we consider it a blessing, an act of worship to share the burdens that are on your heart with us and then to intercede for them. So I'd encourage you to take advantage of that. Father, this time, just what are you doing in our lives that we need to join you in?
We're going to conclude our service now. Remind you, family night. How many are coming up for family night? How many want to come up, don't have a ride? There's an airplane leaving. There's a man at airfare. We'll drop you in. Try to come out. It's going to be a great time. All those who are going to camp, would you stand, please? All right. Now, kind of like we do when we lay hands on people and pray for them, I want you, let's lay hands on these people that are going to camp, okay? All the rest of them. Come on, some of y'all move back here. This group of knuckleheads needs, we got one flower right there in the group. It's mostly knuckleheads. Young Miss Tobe there. All right. Everybody, okay? All right, and we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. Because we're going away specifically for the purpose of hearing from God at camp this week. So let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you. I thank you for camp. I thank you for this place that since 1967, it has been a place set aside for people, for groups to come and to hear from you. And Lord, you have done that many, many times for us as we have gone there every year for a long time. And now, Lord, we give you this time. And we know from the opposition that we faced this year, all the things have gone on, that the enemy does not want us there. But we're saying out loud that Jesus is Lord over this camp this year. Say it out loud. Jesus is Lord. Lord, we're asking you to come and speak and move in us. And Lord, I'm going to say, move in me. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say to me. And God, I pray that prayer for all of us this day. As we bow in your presence, we ask you to come. We pray for traveling mercy for everybody traveling out there today and those who will come for family night. We pray your protection over us. We ask that you would bind the enemy of our souls, that he would not have access to us while we're there, that we can hear your voice clearly this week. We pray for salvation. Lord, we pray for renewal. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the stirring up of the gifts. And we pray for sweet worship before you this week. And Lord, for a good time. Being together, getting a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. The body of Jesus coming together. Thank you now. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you're in agreement with this prayer, say amen. Amen. All right, Brother Dan, you got anything else? All right, we're done. Go, move. Vamos a la casa.